There is something very magical and just that I deeply appreciate about movies made in the 40s. You see, without the special effects, without the exotic filming locations, without the flash of today's movies, they had to rely on something different. They had to rely on substance. Such it was with a script originally entitled Everybody Comes to Rick's. This movie was actually rushed into production as World War II was breaking out because Warner Brothers was looking for a movie that vilified the Nazis. And they had one sitting there on their desk that they'd been thinking about for a while. Such it was with this script, Everybody Comes to Rick's. The script was about a saloon that was home to a full cross-section of the world, a haven for humanity. Most of the people at this bar, gambling at their tables, drinking, listening to the music, they were waiting to go onward to something new. Most often, they were escaping Nazi-occupied territories to escape into America. But without paperwork, without visas, most of these people were stuck. And so they went to a saloon named Rick's to pass the time and entertain themselves. Well, they couldn't go where they wanted to go, nor could they return to where they came. The story of these people in this saloon, the man who ran it, and a visit from his past all come together in this film called one of the best ever made, a film called Casablanca. Even though those of you who may never have seen it, chances are you likely could quote a few lines from it. Lines like, "Play it again, Sam," which actually isn't said in the movie, completely misquoted, but it's become even more popular than the original quote in the film. But saying, "You played it for her, play it for me, play as time goes by," just isn't the same as looking and saying, "Play it again, Sam." Or, "Here's looking at you, kid." And then those words spoken on a foggy runway as the sound of airplane propellers spins in the background. If you don't get on that plane, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life. This is more than a great movie line. It actually encompasses the essence of the entire film and one of the most difficult parts of being human. It captures the regret of each of the main characters in the film. It captures the regret of Rick, who can never return to the U.S. for reasons we never know. It captures the regret of how his heart was broken by a love he was ready to marry, who didn't show up on the train when he was ready to leave Paris. Instead, all he got was a note that's ink began to run underneath the rain and his tears. Or Ilsa's regret, this woman who had to break Rick's heart in order to not break the heart of another, a husband she thought was dead, who miraculously survived the concentration camps, but never able to tell Rick why she only sent a note, why she didn't get on that train with him. Or the regrets of her husband, Victor, who has had to sacrifice everything, at times including his marriage, at times almost his life, to pursue his calling to fight the Nazis with his words to inspire rebellions. Each and every character, including characters that are only on screen for a single moment, they're all filled with regrets. And that's what makes this movie so captivating. The humanity and the humanness of the people in the story. We can connect with the pain because it acknowledges a pain we carry ourselves. We, as people, we get regret. There are so many reasons we might feel regret, but they usually can be summed up with two simple realities. Either we did something, or we didn't do something. And we regret. Talking about regret is not a simple issue to bring up. Though some regrets are very surface-level laments, other regrets are some of the deepest scars we carry as people. But that's the thing. Regrets can go from the simple to the life-changing. Because regret is so easy to experience. You know, you don't even have to make a mistake to experience regret. I mean, I can order the oatmeal cookie ice cream down at Sweet Cow, be loving every single bite of it, and still be regretting that I didn't get the cookies and cream. This is how devious regret is. It can leave us questioning ourselves, even when we've made a good decision, in an unimportant moment. And if it can do that over good decisions in unimportant moments, we can see why it can plague us, how devious it can be when it's a big decision that maybe didn't turn out the way we would have liked. It can plague us when we consider all those other opportunities, the cost, the things that might have been had what we chose been left unchosen. And if we can experience regret over such inconsequential moments in life, how much heavier is it when it comes to the hardest decisions life brings? What if I'd called? What if I'd made more time? What if I'd said no? What if I'd said yes? What if I'd just listened? What if I'd trusted myself? What if? Regret is an emotion that ends up leading to so many more. Regret is an emotional gateway drug. From regret, we find ourselves launching into frustration and disappointment and shame and doubt and depression and insecurity, all because of a choice. What is it with choices that's so hard? The Apostle Paul was well aware of the difficulty presented by choices, and he reflects on that difficulty as well as his failures and regrets in some of his writing in the book of Romans. Hear what he says here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very things I don't want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree the law is good, but in fact it is no longer that I do it, but the sin that dwells within me that does it. For I know that nothing good dwells within me that is simply my flesh. I can will to be what is right and yet not do it. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. Man, he's working through some stuff here. There is a lot to unpack in this scripture. The relationship between the people and God's law is a huge focus of the entire book of Romans. It's a part of his earlier writing in Romans. Paul almost says that the law, all the rules, that's why we sin. I mean, if there weren't rules, we couldn't break them. It's a very Garden of Eden moment. Look, God, you said don't eat from the tree. We didn't have a problem till you said don't eat from the tree. This is our human issue. But then Paul emphasizes it's not the law's fault that we make poor choices. After a lot of words, he's finally willing to admit that it's our problem, not the law's. The essence of this scripture is in one key sentence, a sentence that is one of the most relatable scriptures in the Bible, and one I think we may have even uttered without realizing we were quoting scripture. I don't understand my own actions. I do not do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. This is a reflection of our human condition. Paul is naming the shadow side of one of our greatest gifts as people. Paul is discussing the shadow side of free will. The reality that God lets us make choices. Free will is essential in God's design for humanity because free will gives our choices meaning. Our choices can carry meaning because they're at the expense of other opportunities. If we had no choice, nothing would matter. This actually came to light for me this recently. I was in a situation where I could have demanded someone apologize to someone else. Yeah, because those apologies mean a lot. My mom said I had to say I'm sorry. Never really means anything. But when there's no demand placed, and a person chooses to apologize of their own free will, something real and healing can occur. In fact, you often hear me say during communion, God, you have given everything to us, including the choice to worship you. Without free will, we couldn't praise God with meaning. Free will is pretty awesome, except when it's not. Because choices come with a lot of byproducts. You see, regret. Regret is one of the byproducts of choice. Choices also come with limits. You see, choices force us to confront our limits since we can't have it all. And that's hard. I mean, if we could have it all, we would, and then we wouldn't have to worry about anything. We as people have a hard time accepting free will. We have a hard time accepting the free will we've been given, mostly because it's so powerful, and that power amplifies the brokenness of our human condition. Regret is often the anxiety of being entrusted with such power. We feel responsible. We recognize the responsibility of making decisions, and we worry we won't live or aren't living up to the responsibility we've been given. Regret is often the acknowledgement of our imperfect use of that power. There's nothing quite like the exact second you realize you screwed up. You know that exact second when you can't change it anymore? That moment you wish life had an undo button and you're looking for Control Z somewhere? And while we can learn from our mistakes, regret doesn't help us learn. Regret is not a learning process. Regret is a shame and forgiveness problem that keeps us from learning. Regret is the result of feeling ashamed of what we did or didn't choose. Regret is a holding pattern that keeps us from arriving at the forgiveness we need to offer ourselves. And that's the quintessential Casablanca reality. Not being able to return from where you came, but not being able to move on to somewhere new. Just being stuck. They could have called it Everybody Comes to Regret. Not if all things are remaining the same. We can't leave into learning. We can't leave regret behind if things remain the same. And since we can't change the decisions that have already been made, all that's left to do is change ourselves. All that's left to do is forgive ourselves, trusting that God already has. Because God has forgiven us. It's a sentence I don't think we talk about enough. God has forgiven us. That's actually what keeps God from being cruel. If God gave us free will without forgiveness, that would just be messed up. But God has forgiven us. God was well aware of the power being handed to each of us. God was aware of the possibilities in our human holding of free will. God was aware of the greatness it could bring and for the failure that it also opened up. And so God gracefully forgives. And so we're presented with another choice. We must choose if we will forgive ourselves. If we can't, we get stuck in that holding pattern of regret. In fact, I've had plenty of conversations that eventually include the phrase, "I regret how long I regretted that." When we can forgive ourselves, as God already has, we then have a chance to make better choices moving forward, to learn, to grow, to see new things open before us, so that we won't still be regretting today, tomorrow, or for the rest of our lives. Amen.